Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Happy Saturday!
I love it.
I gotta hype the people up, you know. Energy brings energy or begets energy, you know. Momentum meets momentum, so you know, we gotta bring it.
Facts.
Hello, BE community. As y'all can see, we have a very special guest in the building. Aww. So we'll introduce her shortly, but first up, how you doing, Toya? How's it going?
It's been a full week. I have been in the thick of planning for our school's Different is Awesome event.
Okay.
Collaborating with another school. So just a lot of planning, preparation, ordering supplies and different things. Trying to make sure everyone is in place and signed up and hopefully will do what they said they're going to do. So that's rough. But
now, Different is Awesome. Like, you got to, are you talking about like, just different to mean so many different things?
Autism awareness.
Okay. That's what I thought.
That's special needs, but I didn't know if it was like a specific,
celebrating all special needs, but yes, autism awareness.
Beautiful. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Teacher, Tamisha, I don't know if you knew that, but yes.
I didn't, but that's what I from the context, I gathered. Yeah. That was possibly it. That's awesome. And that's awesome work too.
Amazing. Well, y'all, I will read our bio for our amazing guests. So without further ado, you'll know who you're talking to. All right. So this is the amazing Tamisha Faxio. Did I say your last name right?
That's perfect.
Okay,
perfect. Yes.
I don't think I've ever asked you that. Okay, but anyways. Tamisha Faxio is a self-taught, y'all, documentary photographer dedicated to portraying and centering the Black experience. Amen to that. All right. She specializes in portraits of Black women and women of color. Tamisha strives to tell authentic stories that both inform and inspire. And her photography, y'all, has been featured in Parents.com, Jezebel, The Guardian, USA Today, Forbes.com, The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Ain't Bad, Creative Room, F-Stop, and Cultura Inquieta, all right, as well as a documentary film, Refuge and Love Wins Over Hate. Amazing, y'all. Okay. But before becoming a photographer, Tamisha was a lawyer, y'all. She was a lawyer working as a legal counsel for Spanx. You know, women, we know them well, right? She's a graduate of college. Amen. My spelling.
Yes.
Who majored in psychology, and she went to Vanderbilt University to get her JD in law. She now lives in Atlanta with her husband and her two daughters. So give it up for our girl, Tamisha. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You did that very, very well. The animation just really, you made me sound really good.
I mean,
it's great. A great bio. You've done some amazing work.
Thank you. It still feels very new to me. So whenever I have someone read that back, it's like, oh, that's they're talking about me. Okay.
My God. So we have a little segment called What Had Happened Was, and it's just basically story time with BE. And we started this conversation a little bit before we went live. So I wanted to just kind of pick up where we left off because I'm trying to remember. I mean, of course, Tamisha, we know each other from school, like maybe right before pre-pandemic when you were making this huge leap transition and my mouth was just like wide open, like what in the world?
Right.
And to see what has happened since then, which is why I read your bio the way I did, because I feel like I've seen it in like living, like,
right, yeah.
Time. So it's just super dope. But I'm curious to know, because you actually reached out to me at the time regarding Becoming Eva. So can you share, do you remember your introduction to Becoming Eva or how you heard about this podcast?
So I feel like we may have reconnected through Amina. Mm-hmm. I feel like it has to be, yes, maybe when her book launched or something.
Yes.
And I remember that's around the time that I was starting to dabble in photography. At that point, it was a hobby.
Dabble.
And I was utilizing every opportunity I could to practice. And so around that time, I got interested in brand storytelling, I think. Okay. And so rather than your traditional brand photography, I was interested in doing something more storytelling behind the scenes, showcasing brands kind of in their natural element. Mm-hmm. Because again, you know, as you read, I'm a documentary photographer. I fell in love with storytelling very early on. And so I was like, this could be a cool thing to do. And so I started reaching out to women that I knew who were doing cool things. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Amina, I was going to do like a day in the life with her, mm-hmm. some artist friends that I knew. I wanted to do some photography where I would chronicle the process of them creating work. There are some other folks I knew who were doing big things that I just wanted to follow them around for the day, like this kind of day in the life photography. And then I think that's why I reached out to you to potentially do something like that for you guys.
Yes, that's so
cool.
Shout out to our Spelman sister, Amina Brown Owen.
Yeah.
Mentioned her, plugged her before, always doing amazing things, just got another book deal. So
yes.
But yes. Okay. So I love the brand storytelling piece. So that's so yes. Well, we're going to dive on in. I'm going to turn it over to Toya and we're going to talk your origin story.
Yes. Tamisha. So tell the Becoming Eva fans a little bit about where you're from and a little bit about your family and what it was like growing up in your family.
Yeah. So I was born in Peoria, Illinois. I don't know if you're familiar with that small city, but my family moved to California, and this is through a series of different moves. My dad was in the military, so we moved around a lot. But I was raised in San Diego, California. And again, with moving a lot, I became the new kid a lot. I was often the new kid on the block. And so I became very comfortable with change. Mm-hmm. I began to really actually feel comfortable with change. And so that plays a role later. But when I got to high school, growing up in San Diego, there are Black people there, but there aren't a lot. And so when I got to high school, I knew that I wanted to go to an HBCU. So that's what brought me to Atlanta, to Spelman. I only applied to HBCUs, by the way. That was it. Okay. I knew that was it. I was going to be around the Blacks. That was it. So so that's what brought me to Spelman. And then studied psychology, decided I didn't want to pursue the PhD. This is a very quick, I'm really kind of flowing through this, but decided I didn't want to pursue a PhD. At the time, friends that I had were going to law school. So I was just kind of made the quick decision to go ahead and do that. I had never wanted to be a lawyer. But again, I'm just comfortable with new things. I'm comfortable with doing things I'd never done before. And again, back to growing up, moving around and constant change. So just went to law school, developed a desire to practice law while I was there.
Okay.
I went to Vanderbilt Law School, by the way. And then from there, went to work for a major law firm. Worked in house a little bit. And then that kind of starts kind of that story of transitioning out of that. But that's kind of like the short version.
I have to ask, like, I mean, not a lot of people just go to law school. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, I know she said it so like casually, like, yeah. I just you know.
Well, let me add this in because I don't want it to sound like I just like, let's just, no. I decided to make this journey, this law school, I decided that like senior year. Okay. So I was behind the curve. So when I first applied, I did not get in.
Okay.
I only applied to Harvard, Yale. I didn't apply to any school that wasn't in like the top five. Okay. Yeah. I was very certain of my ability to go to film school.
I mean, that's what someone does.
Now, but I hadn't studied for the LSAT.
Oh, wow.
I went and took it.
Wow.
So that didn't go well. So that was a learning experience.
Note to self, study for the LSAT.
That was a learning experience. That didn't go well. And so I got rejected by Harvard, mm-hmm. Yale, or the other top, whatever they are, I applied to all of them. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to take a year off because at that point I was like, I'm going to law school. So I took a year off and I studied for the LSAT by myself because I did not have the money to pay for that. Studied by myself, raised my score, and then got into Vanderbilt.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so it's not like... She just, you know, that would have been nice. But no, I, you know, had to take a step back, prepare.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I get it. But I mean, still, that's like a commitment. Like, I feel like most people have that commitment when they're like, I want to be a lawyer, not.
Right. I grew up watching Claire Huxtable and I want to be. No, that was never me. I never had a desire to go to law school until I decided to go.
So I'm just curious, like, you know, as a little girl, the infamous question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, did you have an answer for that? Or was it just kind of like, hey, I'm doing me, we'll see. You know what I mean?
You know, I cannot remember my answer to that question, but I know that it was not to become a lawyer. And I also know that over the course of my life, I often did not have a clue about what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Even when I got to Spelman, I was undeclared. My major was undeclared for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I like learning. I like school. So I think the idea of going to law school and learning to me was more interesting than becoming a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So even going to college, again, I didn't have a clear sense of what I wanted to do. And so, I think that's why I was so open to kind of just trying something that had nothing, that was not the reason I went to college, the reason I wanted to get an education. I was like, I'll try this. Yeah.
So walk us through.
Yeah.
How and when did you like become interested in photography since, mm-hmm. you know, you were a lawyer? So how did that transition into your interest of photography?
Yeah.
This is quite, so I'm going to try to like bite-size piece this. Okay. So, I had been practicing for, 8 years, I would say, by the time I started to get this creative itch. It was around 2014, I think. At that time, I think that I was just starting to question my career. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of highs and lows. You know, I started out with the big firm life. I got laid off from that in 2009 when the market crashed. And there were just a lot of ups and downs. And so I got to a point in my career, I was working for a smaller law firm at the time. I was doing really interesting work that I did enjoy. But there were some questionable things going on in this law firm that I'm not going to get into. Mm-hmm. But they caused me to start questioning, is this what I want for the rest of my life? Mm. Is this all there is?
Yeah.
I will say that previously I had had that thought of, you know, do I want to try something else after I got laid off from my first law firm? But I kind of dismissed that because I had worked very hard to get that law degree and I had spent a lot of money to also do that. So I kind of dismissed that at the time. But by this point, I really started to sit with, okay, is there something else for me? And so I was talking to my husband, and this is kind of how this, it's very sudden how this happened, okay? I was talking to my husband, I was having kind of a, I don't know what I want to do anymore, this doesn't feel right anymore, something just isn't clicking for me. And he had run into someone who worked at a creative agency. And he said, you know, he was telling me that they had gone to this advertising school. And he was like, maybe you want to look into something like that because, you know, that's a way that you could maybe do something creative. But then in the business world, like maybe that could be something. And so I went to the website of this advertising school called the Creative Circus. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. And it sounds crazy. But yeah, I went to that website because I was just that I was in a place of exploration. And as soon as I went to the website and saw the opportunities that were available or just got exposure to what was out there creatively, because I had never been exposed to that. Mm-hmm. Immediately something woke up. I was in my office at that law firm looking at art direction, copywriting, things I had never really considered ever, because I just was not exposed to those as career paths. And I started crying. I had to shut my door. It was just like, oh my gosh, like there's this whole world out there that I did not know existed. And I will say maybe within the next few months, I had enrolled in that school.
Wow.
And started studying art direction, copywriting. And I didn't finish that program. And I'm glad I didn't, because that's not even the direction that God had me go in. I really think that that experience was just to open my eyes to the creative that was in me that I did not know was there. And also to validate the creative in me that I didn't know was there. And, you know, as a educated Black woman, a lot of times I feel like there's a sense of, I gotta go to school for this. You know, I gotta go and I gotta get a degree in this thing. And I didn't get a degree in photography. That's another story. But all that to say, that helped to validate the creative. And so I ended up leaving that law firm after weird things happened that I will not get into. And I went to work for Spanx. I left that creative school, but at Spanx, I thought, because it's such a creative and vibrant environment, I thought that that would be the perfect marriage of the left and right brain for me. It's like, okay, I can be a lawyer here. I'm still a lawyer. I'm not leaving this law degree behind and all the work and all the money, right? But I can also be surrounded by creativity and bright light and women, you know, encouraging each other to try new things. And that's really what that place is full of. So at first, yes, it was perfect. I felt like I was just in heaven as far as, you know, that's concerned, my career is concerned. But eventually things just started to, the creative in me just wasn't getting enough. You know, I'd be in creative meetings. I'd be, you know, the lawyer there wishing that I was on the other side of the table. I wanted to be the one bringing the creative ideas into the room, not the one evaluating them and determining whether or not we could move forward. You know, that became very clear to me, and it started to really pain me, honestly, to not sit in that creative seat. So at that point, and I told y'all this was long.
That's all right.
At that point, I started dabbling in all sorts of creative things. Clothing design. Now, of course, I'm at Spanx, and so I'm around a ton of designers.
Yeah.
And so I was like, let me get a sewing machine and some fabric, and made a couple of things that I wore to work. And people were like, that's cool. Where'd you get that? I made it, you know. Started dabbling in multimedia art, filmmaking, video production. And when I say that, listen, I mean, I was taking my cell phone and making videos. This was,
hey, that's all right. I'm
light
here
work, light work. Right. And so I just started exploring just what are the things that I could try to do. And so again, I'm going to shorten this by kind of moving ahead. So the videography piece is what got me interested in the possibility of photography. So there came a moment where I thought to myself, you know, I want to try photography. Okay. Yeah. I was at a friend's birthday party. I was at her house for her daughter's birthday party. And I just happened to mention this to her. Okay. It was, and I was actually taking pictures of the birthday party on my cell phone at the time. Right. So her and her husband disappear. I'm not thinking about it at the time, but they disappear. I'm like, there you go. They reappear with a camera bag. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, hey, do you like this camera? I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I just mentioned wanting to try photography. You guys are bringing out a camera that might be a good fit for what I'm trying to do. Great. Yes, great. Yes, yes. No, do you want this camera? Wow. And I was like, maybe, yeah, maybe I'll go to, you know, Best Buy and see if they have this model. Like, what do you want to know? And they were like, no. Do you want this camera? Wow. I was like, y'all are not sitting up here trying to give me this Canon. But they were. So they gifted me my first camera.
Oh, wow.
And that is what started everything. Because at that point, I then had a professional level camera that I could just start taking pictures with, right? So there was no reason not to start. And I just started taking photos of my kids. And that is the start of it. That's it. That's the story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Beautiful. That is beautiful. Okay, so we're gonna you've done a great segue for us. We're gonna dive into becoming because it's one thing to say, okay, things are being awakened in me and start exploring and even finding something that you want to pursue in the creative realm. Now it's a whole nother thing to be like, all right, I'm quitting my job as a lawyer. Married with two children. I'm gonna start my own business and I'm doing photography. I'm self-taught. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
all facts, all real things.
Mm-hmm. What was that transition like? You know, and praise God for your husband being super supportive. Like, I mean, he's dope anyway, but praise God for your husband being supportive. Yeah. But like just thinking of the mental gymnastics, like, did you have to work through anything or were you just like, I'm just gonna do it? Like,
there are a lot of things that I could say about this, but we're going to keep it somewhat short. The first thing that I had to overcome was the am I wasting my law degree challenge, right? Because law school is difficult, okay? Mm-hmm. Being a lawyer is a lot of work. I spend a lot of time learning that, you know, and walking away from that felt like a waste. Right. Even though I didn't enjoy it anymore, even though it was clear to me that there was something else that I should be doing. And let me just say, when I started dabbling in photography, that just started to grow into. It gave me clarity about the creative thing that was in there that I was just trying to figure out. Mm-hmm. So with that, you know, I got a lot of clarity about how little I wanted to be a lawyer and how much I wanted to be a photographer. So that helped. But the struggle was, but I spent a lot of money and I'm still paying student loans. Like I'm still, you know, right. And
facts.
It's a career that walking away from is, it's not a small thing, right? So that was the first challenge. But I think because I had fallen so madly in love with photography and I knew that that's what God was calling me to do. I knew it. It made it easier to move away from that. And also remember, it wasn't like I was losing anything. Mm-hmm. I wasn't losing the law degree. I had it. I wasn't losing my license to practice law, you know. I wasn't losing the experience that I had gained. So that made it a little bit easier, but that was the first challenge. And then of course, the second one was getting comfortable with the uncertainty, you know, going from a steady, regular job to a new entrepreneurial venture, you know, especially for someone who had never run a business. I had never had the desire to be an entrepreneur. That was not something, you know, it just wasn't something so that was a big transition. But for me, I think I was more concerned with what would happen to me if I didn't do it.
Oh, wow.
What would happen to me if I didn't try? I am a big believer in just trying new things. That was what that whole process of creative exploration was about for me. And so I was like, if I don't do this, am I going to have regrets in 10 years? You know? So those are the things that kind of led to making me feel brave enough to do it. I will also add. I hesitate to say this, but I got to a place too in my career, I'll just say in general, where I was feeling quite undervalued. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Yeah.
And so that made it easier. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I'm gonna sit in something where I feel undervalued, underutilized, and I feel like there's so much more talent in me than is being utilized, right?
Yeah.
And that just really made it a little easier to say, you know what, I'm walk away from this. If I want to come back, I can do that. But for now, I need to see what else is inside of me.
Yeah.
That may be a lot greater than this. You know, does that make sense?
That's beautiful because
there's
not a lot of people that have the courage to do what you did, you know, to get a law degree, go through schooling, and then this is not my passion. I there's gotta be something more, and to like really step out and pursue that passion is scary.
It is.
I just want to commend you because I know that takes a lot of courage. I know you kind of, you said like God, it kind of was leading you. So when did you start developing your personal relationship with God so we know like how he was to kind of guide you?
Mm-hmm. So I grew up going to church, occasionally. I would spend every summer with my grandmother. And of course, when I was with grandma, we went to church every Sunday. But I grew up not in relationship, but just kind of following suit, just going and showing up to church and singing in the children's choir and doing those things. So I had a knowledge of God, a knowledge of church, a knowledge of who Jesus was. But it wasn't until I got to college that I really met Jesus. So I had started going to this church and they had a really robust college ministry. And I had never seen people my age that excited about Jesus outside of, I'd never seen it. I can't compare it to nothing. So that was very inspiring for me. Like, oh, well, this is like fun. Like, this is like cool. It's not just, going to grandma's church. This is, grandma, no offense. That gave me foundation. Grandma's church gave me foundation. So I don't want to make it sound like that, but it wasn't my relationship. It was my grandma's relationship. Right. So, I seeing that and actually being in an environment where I could really understand the truth that was being presented to me, that I could really see how God works in your life in an individual and intimate way, captured me. And so freshman year of college, I gave my life to Jesus and I joined college ministry, and that was my college experience. The gatherings, the prayer meetings, the conferences, all of that stuff. But what I will say was the most critical thing was our college ministry. For those of us who would stay behind in the summertime, there were these classes that they offered where we would really dive into spiritual foundation, right? Mm-hmm. That was everything. For me, I got a really great understanding, and not, I'm an expert in the thing, but a really great understanding of just biblical foundational truth. And that set the tone for my life. And to get it early made all the difference. And even in law school, I found an amazing church when I was in law school that pushed that foundation even further. And I will say, it was a little bit different because the environment wasn't as far as having a college ministry and that kind of thing. They have I think we had a Christian Legal Society. Vanderbilt. Wow. And so I immediately joined that organization because, this is the college ministry of law school, right? Yeah. And that environment helped me to shape my idea of what a career was about, not just for me to make money, not just for me to do, but there's a bigger focus on serving the Lord in your career and in what you choose to do outside of ministry, because, there's kind of this idea that serving God means you go into full-time ministry, and that's not true. Mm-hmm. And so those things were so foundational for me. And so in my career, trying to gain an understanding, of course, this is not a science, right? This is an imperfect, trying to gain an understanding of what the Lord wants me to do in different seasons has helped me a lot. And even with the transition out, spent a lot of time praying, of course, a lot of time talking to my husband, trying to, gain wisdom and see, what I should do. And I will say that I gave my notice at Spanx, I think it was January of 2019. Mm-hmm. And I didn't leave until October.
Oh, wow. Can you get notice that far in advance?
Yes, you can. I did. It was basically like, you know, for me, because I had grown so discontent with what I was doing, it I felt like I was lying every time I had a review, you know, every time I had to pretend I wanted to do any of the things, you know. So for me, because of just the way my heart is built, I was like, I gotta tell y'all, I don't want to be here anymore. I have to make it plain. But then also it gave me, it gave, because our legal department at the time was very small. And I, the general counsel, we became friends and I loved her. So I was like, I just want to let you know what's happening here. And she was like, you can say, I mean, no one was trying to push me out, rush me out. Okay. It gave everyone time to transition. I was able to stay around while they tried to get someone else hired. They gave me a wonderful send off. Very encouraging, because again, if you know anything about Sarah Blakely or Spanx, it's very women empowerment and also very try new things. You know, we were doing stuff like comedy classes and so, you know, things like that to try to push us to try new things. So when I was going to leave to do this, it was like, oh, you know what? You do that, you know.
That's good. So. That's so good. Aww. Wow. So can you, I mean, I definitely want to get into this new release that you have, but before we start specifically talking about that, I know in your bio, you specifically talked about how you're just drawn to portraying the Black experience and women of color. And I mean, of course, you're, you know, a woman of color, so I'm sure that's a part of it, but can you talk a little bit more about why you're so passionate about telling those stories?
Early on in my photography journey, I fell in love with storytelling, but also authenticity, or just authentic, real looking images, right? So that's kind of the basis of the type of imagery that I like to show, but just showing the realness and naturalness of things. Okay. So I've never really been drawn to you know, portraiture or photography that looked really, really overdone or whatever. And those are beautiful images, but I'd rather do the stripped down, you know, very little makeup. This is what I look like in real life. And this is what I do in real life kind of thing. So with that, I know that there's so much that goes into the experience of being Black. There's so many things that are unique to our experience, to our community, that I don't think are showcased as art or showcased as much as I think they could be. And again, as art, you know, so our hair, our skin, our rituals, you know, the things that we do that are just a part of our community and a part of our culture that we have created, right? So for me, one of the things that I have wanted to do and is showcase just what Black families look like. Okay, so there's more to being Black than trauma, right? There's more to being Black than just the struggle. And those things exist, and there is space given for those works, and those are valuable works. But there's also space for the rest of the Black experience, right? And so I want to show, you know, Black people in their houses, just being Black, just being themselves, just doing regular things, because we do regular things too.
Amen.
You know? And then also just showing that you don't have to have a huge house to be successful. You can have a regular house. It's messy sometimes or all the time. And this is okay, because we have been taught that we just have to be better. We have to be 10, was it 10 times, 5 times, 2 times better? I don't even know how many times, but sometimes, you know. You know, our cleanliness has been questioned. Our beauty has been questioned. So just showcasing just the and normalizing Blackness is something that I care about. And then just one last part, because I know I've been talking for a long time, but I want to showcase the inherent beauty of Blackness, just as we are. And that's kind of what prompted Wash Day, but which we haven't gotten into yet, but just the inherent beauty without anything being done to us. We don't need to be changed or manipulated in any way. We are beautiful, and just showing the inherent beauty of us is something I am passionate about.
I love it. And actually, of course, that you did perfect segue into Wash Day, your book that just recently released. I was pulling it up because I want to make sure I had the subtitle, because you mentioned rituals. It's in there. Passing on the legacy rituals and love of natural hair. And I love the fact that you have the beautiful, is that a painting behind you?
No, this is one of the shots. Oh, yeah.
It literally looks like a painting. That's your work behind that. You? Like what?
Yeah.
Amazing. So
I love it.
Tell us
about making me blush. So Wash Day is both a book and a photo series, and like the tangible results of this creative journey that I've been on. You know, I feel really blessed to be able to hold in my hands like the result, you know, of walking away from my job. I honestly started another job after in 2022 and quit that one because I didn't have time to finish my book. So a lot of sacrifice, right? So it's the tangible result of that. But when I started this project, I knew that I wanted to, again, showcase the inherent beauty of natural hair. I knew that I wanted to do something that showed that our hair is beautiful when it's styled, it's beautiful in braids, it's beautiful in twist outs and all of that, but it's also beautiful just the way it is. And I did a lot of research and just a lot of just looking around at different imagery to figure out, like, how can I photograph our hair in a way that's storytelling, that's potentially documentary style, that is showing realness. And so I was looking through images one day and I came across an image of, and this is probably a picture that all Black people or Black women especially have somewhere in a photo album, right? It's that image of mom or grandma sitting on the couch and the daughter or granddaughter's sitting between her knees and she's doing her hair. I saw that picture and I was like, oh, wait, okay, there's something here. But I still didn't have the idea of Wash Day when I saw that image, but that spoke to me because that's my experience, right? And I know that that's the experience of a lot of us. And so I think maybe a week or two later, I was having Wash Day with my daughters. Need I say more? You know, I was looking at their hair, looking at the products that we had, you know, lined up, looking at all the things that we had brought together to make this day happen. And it just clicked. It was very clear to me that this was the story. I immediately went and grabbed my camera and started taking pictures of them. I mean, it was kind of difficult to take pictures while doing their hair, but I did what I could. It was like one hand with a camera in it trying to do. But it just clicked. It was an aha moment. And it was clear, like, this is how you can showcase everything that you want to do. The inherent beauty of natural hair textures, the generational story of mothers and their children, and how we're able to pass on the things that we've learned about our hair, whether it be, you know, how to care for our hair. Because I don't know about y'all and your natural hair story, if you have one, but, you know, I grew up with a relaxer. I did not see my natural hair until I was almost 30. And so I had to learn how to care for my hair over the course of years, right? And I also had to learn how to love the hair that I had been told was ugly, you know? So I knew that I wasn't the only one that was having that experience, and also being able to pass on that knowledge and that love of hair to my kids. And so for me, that was kind of the beginning of the series, understanding that I wanted to show documentary photography, the inherent beauty of Black hair, and then also this generational story of Black women passing on a legacy to their children.
I grew up as well with the relaxed hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I started transitioning in college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with the big chop and all of that stuff. I tried to do it gradually, but then eventually my hairstylist just kind of just cut it off without me, like, yeah, permission. But that's another story. But I have three girls. Wash Day takes, I would say, about 6 hours.
Oh, that's good. With three children?
I have three girls. I have a boy
too. Yeah.
They have three different hair textures. So keeping up with, like, the different products.
Yes.
Different hairstyles that work right for their hair. And whew, it's just been a journey, like, learning how to do, like, 4C type of hair.
Because right.
I'm not I didn't grow up with that. So
I
got my friends to kind of like help me. Well, they've helped me out throughout the years as far as like how to style it, what products, what I should do. Like
I have to care
when it's conditioning and like stuff like that. So it's been a journey, and my kids, when it's wash day, that was like, and then they're like arguing, like, no, I went first last time. It's her turn first. And
that is real. That is real. But see, But that is what I really wanted to show. I mean, short of this being video, right, where you can't really show those conversations in real time. I tried to do that through storytelling. But the reality and realness of wash day just, and you can talk to 100 different Black women and you would have so much commonality, but also so much diversity. And it's just really beautiful.
Yes. And they all have natural hair. This is healthy. It just takes a long time. And I have to do styles that will kind of last.
Yes. And I have too. And they have different hair textures as well. And so one of the things that I did not do early on is differentiate their products, you know? And I realized that that was an error. And I've had to, you know, make sure that their different hair textures were getting what they need. And so, but ours takes longer than 6 hours. You're doing good at six for three. That's great. I'm on an 8 hour journey. Oh
my goodness. And then I have to, I feel like I have to advocate for myself with my husband because he's like watching football and relaxing. I'm like, this is work.
For the whole day. It's like you gotta handle dinner. You gotta do anything that's extra you have to do it because today I have to focus on this. And I like to stand while I'm doing their hair. I don't know where that came in. I used to sit when they were younger, but for some reason I now stand. So they sit and I stand. And so I got to the point where at one point my legs were starting to swell up from standing so long doing their hair.
Ooh. So like a real hairstylist.
Exactly. Okay.
So I am so curious about wash day. Like, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Authentic. But I love the concept. I love it.
Thank you.
Yes. So do you have any words of wisdom that you would like to share with people desiring to pursue a passion if they have like a creative passion in the inside, but maybe like stuck in like a 9-to-5 and just really don't know how to like let that passion out? What types of words of wisdom can you give someone that wants to pivot in their career and publish a book or go after one of their creative desires?
Okay. So the first thing I'll say, you know, and I'm going specifically from my experience because there's pivoting that looks like I'm going to go from this career to that career. And there's pivoting that, like me, like you said, going from certainty to uncertainty, right? So speaking of that, I think the biggest piece of wisdom that I can share is make sure that you're comfortable with the uncertainty. Okay. Even as a believer, I will say that most of the things that I've experienced since I began this journey, most things have not happened the way that I thought they would. So a lot of ups and downs, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of things that I prayed for would happen a certain way and they didn't. And it's just being comfortable or at least knowing that you can tolerate not being certain about a lot of things. That's one piece of advice. I know that's kind of, you know, but it's a big one. I will say, you know, for me, when I left Spanx in 2019. My business was growing, things were happening, but you know, March 2020 came very quickly after that. And so I went from growing and having all these gigs lined up to having nothing. And I had just started. So everything fell apart, and it was very, I questioned the decision many times in 2020. I thought I'd made a huge mistake at first, but it turned out that it was absolutely the right thing to have done, because that downtime, I don't even know, the lockdown, the isolation, I will say, of COVID actually opened the door in a way for me to focus on art instead of building business. So that would be another thing I would offer, is a lot of times things don't go the way that we thought they would. But as a believer and someone who trusts in the Lord and his journey and his plan, like, they're all things are going to still work together. And so that did work together. I was able to start Wash Day when I started it, mainly because I didn't have a business.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have, you know, I was able to focus in on that and really give it 100% of my attention. And then now it's a book, you know? Did you want to say something before I
was just saying COVID was, I think for me was a blessing in disguise, like the lockdown. I kind of enjoyed.
Hey, listen.
The lockdown and not really being able to go places, because focused on quality time with our family and doing things at the house. A reset. And then I feel like Becoming Eva, it still progressed.
That's good. Yeah.
Started. So I see it as, it was kind of like a blessing in disguise, just a time to kind of pause from like the business.
Oh yes.
Teen and life, and just be still.
Definitely that.
Mm-hmm. So that's beautiful that Wash Day came out of it, and your photography. And I'm a little sad that we didn't get our brand story that we had lined up with you at the time.
We can still do it. We can still do it.
I don't know if we can afford you now. You're big timing now. You're big timing.
You got me blushing over here. You got me blushing. But yeah, I will say that, you know, I hesitate to speak to it that way, because I think I spent the first half depressed, you know, but once I realized, like you said, the blessing in, you know, because sometimes things that look really bad are actually good things, you know, when you look back, when I was able to make that mental shift, everything changed. I started creating art. There's some stuff over here you might see, multimedia artwork. I started doing that along with the Wash Day thing. It just really opened up, again, more creative things were in there that I didn't know. But then as far as publishing a book specifically, because I know that was also part of the question, again, I can only speak to my experience, because I am by no means an expert in this. The biggest piece of advice I can give is to try to find a literary agent, I believe. So I believe that this was all just divine, like pulling, you know, I was introduced to someone who's now a friend of mine, who is an author. She writes books, and we would talk because I was consulting with her about a character that she was writing that was an attorney. Okay. So we would talk about that, and I happened to mention to her this Wash Day idea that was like way in the back of my mind, because at this point it was COVID and I wasn't, you know, she was like, girl, you need to start that project now. Okay. You need to get on that now. I was like, oh, okay. But in my relationship with her and knowing the work that she was doing to try to get her book published, I learned about a literary agent. I didn't know what that was before talking to her. And I will say that my literary agent made the biggest difference in my journey from start to finish. And so that is, and I've had other people reach out to me like, how did you get this? I was like, literary agent, start with that. That is the first step, I believe. And I know that's that can be a difficult process, but that would be the one thing that I would advise anybody to do as a first step.
Well,
I mean, obviously you have to have a great concept first, but you know.
That's yeah. Great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that advice. The next segment we have is called Noble Character. And in this segment, we typically like to give our guests the opportunity to recognize a woman or women in their community that has inspired them along their journey and in their lives. So we would like to give you, Tamisha, a chance to recognize a woman in your life as a woman of noble character.
There are so many, but in this moment, okay, so can I give a little backstory? Can I do that? Okay, so when I first started taking pictures, there is this husband and wife duo that I was introduced to, and Karan and Regis Bethencourt. I don't know if you're familiar with the book Glory, but it is this beautiful portrait, stunning book where they photograph these children in these regal costumes and just, oh my God, if you don't have the book, please get it. Please get it. But it is the most beautiful book. So someone introduced me to their photography, and they celebrate Blackness in such a unique and beautiful way that I've been following them since the beginning. Okay. So I just want to shout out Karan, I mean, as part of this duo, because I admire both of them so much, but I'll speak specifically to her. They have been such an inspiration to me. And I, you know, from the beginning, even with Wash Day, even though it's a very different book than what they've done, what they have done and just seeing what's possible with photography has made me, has given me a sense of vision. Like, I often will go to their Instagram page to see what's possible, to see what I should add to my vision board, because they're doing that. Okay. You know, that's something I should aim for. And so they have been, and I keep saying they, I know it's a man and a woman. I hope I'm not breaking the rules.
You're good, girl.
But they are the biggest inspiration that I can speak to right now. I mean, there's so many more, but I'll stick with them.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for sharing your noble character acknowledgement. Can you share their names again so we can formally acknowledge them?
Yeah, Karan and Regis Bethencourt.
Okay, Karan and Regis Bethencourt, you are people of noble character. I am here for a husband and wife team doing their thing, so that's dope. I'm going to have to check them out.
Oh my gosh, please. They are amazing. And they're in Atlanta.
Oh, so dope. Local. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Wow. Well, did you already tell people how to get your book? Did I miss that?
I haven't done that, but okay. everywhere books are sold. Amazon is a great place. Barnes & Noble. There are some local Black-owned like independent stores you can get it from. But I think most people are probably going to Amazon or Barnes & Noble at this point. But
Perfect. Any other ways people can support you during the season? Because book launching is a heavy lift.
Ooh. Of course, getting the book. But if you have the book, sharing, writing a review on Amazon, you know, sharing with friends, family. I've had people, you know, tell stories of having gotten the book for someone and giving it to them, and there were tears shed. And the response I've been getting to this book has been amazing. I don't even know what else to say. Amazing. But sharing the book with people, even if it's not for you, sharing it with someone who, you know, who may be interested and who may be touched by the story.
Dope. Wow. All right, y'all. Well, you heard it here. Go get Wash Day if you haven't already. And actually, how can people follow you and find you to support you? And then also, you know, you do photography. You do it amazingly well. Yeah, so
listen, thank you for the reminder of all of that. I should have mentioned that. Yeah. So Instagram, TikTok, all the places. I'm just Tamisha Fazio. I did away with all the cute names to make it easy to find me. So just Tamisha Fazio on every platform. And then, yeah, I do get questions quite a bit as to whether or not I still do commissioned photography mm-hmm. work. Yes, I do. Please do call.
Yes.
Not only do I love to do it, but I have started to refocus on the business side of things now that the book is done and out and all of that. So yeah, hit me up for photography. I specialize in documentary. I love storytelling. So if you want something artistic and a little different, that's something I can work with.
Yay. All right. Well, y'all follow at Tamisha Faxio on all platforms. Go get Wash Day if you haven't already. And of course, we'll do a shameless plug for BE as well. If you haven't already, yeah. Go to Becoming Eva today. Get your merch. I got my water bottle today so we can stay hydrated. Nice. Toya got her mug. We got totes. We got tees and tanks and onesies. I pull out my mug too. So yes, go and support at Becoming Eva today. It. If you haven't already, get your merch, slide in them DMs. We're always here for the support. And believe it or not, y'all, we have just one more episode before we close out season 8 of Becoming Eva. So our next wow. episode is our Girl Talk finale, where we just kind of recap the season and yeah, talk all things girls.
Yep. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are trying to increase our YouTube subscribers. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Becoming Eva Today. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.